Let's learn some things on the Parsha. A couple of weeks ago, I shared some thoughts of the Basayin, of Avram Dov Ber of Avrich. So let's go back to the Basayin to see what he shares on the Parsha. One of the important principles that we all pay lip service to is that Torah is not a book of history. The very word Torah means instruction, guidance, and that the Torah is directives. It's filled with commands and orders and really rules that we are to follow, much more than historical anecdotes or facts of what happened. So that's a major theme for the Hasidim. A major theme for the Hasidim is to understand that every part of Torah has a message al derech avoda, a message in terms of what it is we should be doing, what it is that we have to work on, what is our task. And in regards to Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt and Parsha Shmos, classical idea is that the story of the Exodus is really a parable for the struggle every day to overcome our lower urge. A human being has a body which is animated by Yetzer Hara, by an urge for evil. And we have a little piece of Hashem. We have a neshama, a godly part. And the body is trying to shackle the neshama. The body tries to limit the neshama into physical things. And the goal of the neshama is to overcome all that weight that the body is trying to pull it down. And the idea of leaving Egypt, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to get out of the limits, to get out of the boundaries, to get out of the physical, and to be true to the spiritual. The word Mitzrayim, Egypt, is related to the word Mitzar, a boundary, Mitzarim. And Paro is the same letters as the word Ha'oref, meaning the rear. That just as the primary goal is the face, primary purpose of life is spirituality. The rear is the physicality, which has to serve the spiritual. Paro tries to make the rear supreme. He says, no, life is only about materialism, physical pleasures, physical enjoyments. And Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, is to leave the Meitzar, to leave the limitations, to leave the physicality, to leave the evil urge, and to be true to the soul. To get out of these limits, to get out of the rear, and to instead focus on the pnim, on that which is primary, on the face. So that's a theme in many Hasidic books, that Yetzias Mitzrayim, exodus from Egypt is a symbol of the freedom of a person, or a person successfully overcoming the evil urge. And the Basayin, he certainly uses that, it's based on that basic assumption. As the style of many Hasidic Toros, he takes all sorts of hints and tries to string them together in a lesson. And many of his essays on this Parsha deal with the same set of questions. So the first question is that Parsha Shmos begins with Ve'ele Shmos B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayimah. And these are the names of the children of Israel coming down to Egypt. So the first question is, why would a book begin with a conjunctive with the letter Vav? Vav is to connect to what's before. When you start a book, you're starting a new story. It makes sense to say Elishmos, these are the names. Why Ve'elishmos, and these are the names. So that's one question. Why begin with Ve'ela? So the Zohar gives an answer. The Zohar says that Ve'ela in Gematria equals 42. Vav is 6, Aleph is 1, that's 7. Lamed is 30, that's 37. Hey is 5, so 37 plus 5 is 42. Ve'ele is 42. Why is 42 significant? The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin that there is a name of God that's made up of 42 letters. We make reference to that name of God right as we enter into Shabbos. We say the Ana B'Koach prayer. The Ana B'Koach prayer is made up of that name of God. The first letters of each word in Ana B'Koach, if you take all those first letters, you get to 42 letters. Ana b'koach du'as imincha tatir tzura kabel rinas amcha sag That's all the 42, the first letters spell out the 42-letter name of God. Now the Gemara says in Kedushin that the 42-letter name of God is not shared with everyone. A person has to be a tzaddik and have good, you know, midos, and be really beautiful of integrity, you know, beautiful character. Then he merits to be humble, doesn't get angry. Then he is deserving to understand the 42-letter name of God. So the Zohar says, the reason why Parsha Shmos begins with the word Ve'ela is to hint at the 42-letter name of God. That Ve'ela Shmos, these are the names of the Jewish people. In other words, the 42-letter name of God came with the Jews into exile in Egypt. It came with the Jews into Egypt, and it helped take the Jews out. So the Basayan asked, what does that mean for us? If the whole purpose of the story of leaving Egypt is to remind us and give us insight how we can overcome our personal Egypt, how we can overcome our paro, what's the lesson to us that the name of Hashem that came down into Egypt is the 42-letter name of Hashem? So the Basayan says like this. We also know there's a mitzvah every day to make mention of leaving Egypt. So why is there a daily mitzvah to mention leaving Egypt? Apparently, leaving Egypt is something we need to know every day because it's about how we can live life the right way every day. Every day we have this challenge. Are we going to fall into the paro, into the oref, into the physicality? Or are we going to overcome the physicality and be more focused on that which is meaningful and that which is spiritual? Suggest the Basayan, there are three keys that a Jew should do every day in order to overcome his physicality. The first is a person should be immersed in learning Torah. Everyone should learn Torah every day, and whenever he has free time, he should be learning Torah. So there should be regularity to Torah, and whenever we have free time, we should be learning Torah. Torah study has a transformative impact on a person. It elevates a person, it transforms a person's sense of priorities, transforms what he's all about. Torah study is extraordinarily important in regards to getting close to Hashem. And so the first piece of overcoming the evil urge is to embrace the study of Torah. And one success, and that's piece number one. Piece number two is to have tremendous humility. To realize that we each have to realize I am filled with all sorts of urges for the nonsense of this world, which is really not the main purpose of life. And I should feel a sense of a real submission and break my heart. Why am I wasting my effort and energy on that which isn't so purposeful and meaningful? And in that way, a person will succeed in weakening the power of the Yetzer Hara. I was talking with my boys earlier. There's this beautiful book that was just put out about Rebbetzin Heni Machlis. Rebbetzin Machlis was an amazing woman, very, very righteous woman. Grew up in Flatbush, met Rabbi Machlis, moved to Israel, and really, right from when they started as a couple, had huge amounts of guests every Shabbos meal. At one point, it was like 200 guests every meal. And in this little apartment where they lived, they just welcomed the whole world and spread Shabbos, and faith in Hashem, and love of the Jewish people to everyone, as many people as they could. Unfortunately, at the end of her life, Rebbetzin Machlis was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she passed away at the age of 57. So the last few weeks of her life, there was nothing that the doctors could do anymore. She was in her bed in Yerushalayim, and she kept asking her kids to play a song that had the words, "We're just passing through." Now, the background to the song is a famous story about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, was an amazingly special person. He was brilliant. He was very, very pious, very, very righteous. Unfortunately, he was also very, very poor. He had very little money, and he had basically very few physical possessions. Really had very little. And even when he became very, very well known, his books had spread throughout the world, and people knew he was the author of Mishneh Berurah and the Kutei Halachos, and he was basically the indisputable leader of the yeshiva world and deeply respected throughout Poland. The Chafetz Chaim lived with nothing. He lived in a shack. Maybe there was a table that was broken and a chair that was broken and a bed that was broken, and that was it. So they say a story that a guest once came from America, and he walks into the home of the Chafetz Chaim, and he sees that everything's broken. The table's broken, the chair's broken. So he said to the Chafetz Chaim, you know, let me pay for some decent furniture. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, where's your furniture? He said, where's my furniture? He said, where's your bed? Where's your table? Where's your chair? He said, I didn't bring my bed with me. He said, why? Why? Because I'm just passing through. I'm on a trip. I'm passing through. I'm not going to carry my bed with me on the train and on the boat and coming here. Chafetz Chaim said, I'm on a trip. I'm passing through. I come to this world. We're passing through this world to fulfill mitzvos, do good deeds, learn Torah, spread Torah, serve Hashem, to walk into the next world. So what do I need a chair for? What do I need a bed for? I'm passing through. And this was the song that Rebbetzin Machlis kept singing and singing at the end of her life. We're just passing through. We're not here in this world to make this world the main place and the main priority. The priority is heavenly matters and the heavenly world. And in this world, we're just passing through. We're just going through it, but it's not our main place. Says the Basayan, that's the right perspective. The right perspective is that the spiritual realm is what matters, and that's primary. The problem that we all have is that our internal paro, our ha'oref, our materialism, is pulling us down and making us think that this world is the main thing, and that we shouldn't be just about the future world and about spirituality. That's the big challenge, that the physicality is pulling us down. So to overcome the paro, number one, we need to have a lot of learning Torah. Because when we learn Torah, the Torah reminds us what the priorities are. And the second piece is we have to have humility. We have to be humble, and submissive, realize that we're not doing what we should be doing. And when we are humble, then that breaks the evil urge. The evil urge is, in large measure, all about ego and arrogance. First snake, the snake tells Adam in the first sin, Yisim Kelokim, you know, you'll be like God. You can be God, the determiner, the one who determines what's right and what's wrong. So for humble people, then we'll overcome the evil urge. We don't attempt to think that we're a God. So number one, we need a lot of Torah study. Number two, we need tremendous humility to break the evil urge. And number three, we need to pray. We need to ask God, who is the source of all mercy, that He should have mercy on us and give us the strength to stand against the evil urge, to overcome the internal paro. And maybe Hashem will weaken him. Hashem will take us out of exile. And Hashem will help us to overcome the challenges of a paro. Now these are things we have to do every day. That's why we need to mention leaving Egypt every day. Every day we need to talk about overcoming the physical challenges. And the way to do that is through three things: Torah study, humility, and prayer. So maybe that's all hinted in the beginning of the parsha. Ve'elish mos b'nei Yisrael abay Mitzrayim, Es Yaakov. These are the names of the children of Israel coming down to Egypt with Yaakov. Issue veso bo. So a classical question. The beginning of the parsha called them B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel. Why does it now say Es Yaakov, with Jacob they came? So maybe the reason why the Torah switches to the name Yaakov is that the name Yaakov represents humility, the one who's holding on to the heel, the one who's at the bottom, the younger son. In addition, the name Yaakov represents the fact that Yaakov was always studying Torah. We know the Torah says that as the two boys grew up, Esav became a man of the field, and Yaakov, Ishtam, Yaakov, the wholesome son, was Yoshev Ohalim, was sitting in the tents of learning. So the Torah immediately mentions Yaakov. They came with Yaakov to hint that to go down into Egypt, there's a need for the Yaakov, for what Yaakov represents. There's a need for humility, and there's a need for the study of Torah. And the verse began with the word Ve'ele, which we said is in Gematria 42. So that's the hint to the idea of prayer. Because the name of Hashem of 42 letters, perhaps, is the name of Hashem that represents God watching us, God responding to our requests, God taking care, Siyata Dishmaya. So these three things are the way to overcome Paro. So here's a hint. The 42-letter name of Hashem is a gematria of 42. That's 42. Then you add to the gematria of 42 the gematria of the word anava, humility. So the gematria of anava is 131. So 131 and 42 is 173. And 173 together with the word Yaakov. Yaakov is 182. 182 plus 173 is 355. 355. 355 is the gematria of the word paro. Pei is 80, resh is 200, ayin is 70, and hey is 5. So 70 plus 80 is 150, plus 200 is 350, plus 5 is 355. So paro, 355, equals anava, which is humility, Yaakov, which is Torah study, and Membez, the 42-letter name of Hashem, which is a symbol of God responding to our prayers and God taking care of us. Because if we want to overcome Paro, if we want to break the limits of Paro, who tries to limit us, we need these three keys, humility and Torah study, as well as tremendous amounts of prayer. That's what the Bas Ayin says. This is a very, very, you know, beautiful thought that, and it's a, there are so many ways in which we can take it, that one of the lessons we should take from this parsha, from the parsha of going down to Egypt and leaving Egypt, is lessons how to overcome the evil urge. That redemption is not just something that happened once. Redemption is an ongoing challenge that we should merit to be redeemed. And the way to be redeemed is to overcome the physicality, to overcome the evil urge, which is pulling us to the wrong places, pulling us to the shackles of not serving Hashem. That's the first idea of the Bas Ayin. Then he has a second idea. What's this, again, the question that he's dealing with is why does the parsha begin with the word ve'ele? It should have begun with ele shmos. These are the names. Why ve'ele? And these are the names. So the Zohar says, it says ve'ele because ve'ele in Gematria is 42. And Hashem's name of 42 letters came down to the Jewish people into Egypt. So what's the significance of this name? There's another lesson of the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh says that the divine level called Das, deep understanding, was in exile when we were in Egypt. So the Bas Ayin says, what does it mean? What is Das? What is this level that was in exile? So the first proposal that he has is that das is to be aware that this world is not the main place. This world is a hallway leading to a palace. The main place is the world to come, the palace. We should never think that this world is the main place. It's our job in this world to try to take advantage of the opportunity to prepare ourselves so that in the next world we could enjoy the benefits there that are real. Greater a moment of pleasure there than all the years of pleasure that a person can have here. But this is the world where we can fulfill the mitzvos to get entry into the pleasures there. There's a famous parable that's given of a man who was very poor. And he heard that there was an island where the streets were filled with diamonds. But to get to that island, you had to go on a boat for a whole year. So he was desperate. He said, you know what, I'm going to take the risk. He told his wife, I'm sorry, I have to leave. I have to try to get us out of this terrible situation that we're in. He got on a boat, went for a whole year, gets to this island, comes off of the island, and that's in fact the case. There are diamonds everywhere. The whole place is filled with diamonds. So in great excitement, he fills up bags and bags of diamonds. But meanwhile, after a couple of weeks, he discovers in a place where there are diamonds everywhere, diamonds are not valuable. So he doesn't have what to eat on this island. So he finds out that in this island, what's valuable is margarine, fat. They don't have a lot of fat. That's what's valuable. So he works, and he gets paid a little bit, and then he starts to do business and trades, and eventually he collects a couple of barrels of fat. And he's so proud of himself. He's quite the entrepreneur. He's got fat. Now the boat is here to take people back. It's been years. He said, I've got to go back to my wife. So what's he going to take with him? He takes the barrels of fat. Along the way, as he's going, the fat spoils. He gets back to the place where he was after a year on the boat. And he says, listen, I have all this fat with me. I say, well, we don't need fat. We all have fat. But here, what matters are the diamonds. He feels so bad. I didn't take all the diamonds. I left them all there. And he looks in his pockets. He finds a couple that happened to fall in. So that's life. Hashem put us into this world. It was a long journey to come into this world. And the purpose of why we were put into this world is to pick up all the diamonds. There's so many diamonds everywhere. You can do a lot of mitzvahs. Every mitzvah that we do is a diamond. You know, Rav Kook, on Erev Pesach, he was overwhelmed with questions, people coming, this issue, that issue. So his wife said to him, she said, you know, it's Erev Pesach. You need to prepare for the Seder. No, tell people you're not available. So Rav Kook said, if we would be merchants, and we'd have a store, and we're selling things in the store, and there are lots of customers who want to buy things, we're going to say, sorry, we're not available, everybody out. This is our chance to make some money. We'd be excited. Come on in, we'll make the time for you too. I said, this is what we're here for. We're here to help people. So if they have their questions, I can't say I'm not available. I'm here to help, to grab as many of the diamonds as we can grab. So the Almighty takes a soul, He puts it down into this world, a place where there are diamonds everywhere. We can do so many mitzvahs all over the place. And the message is, pick up all the diamonds, do lots and lots of good deeds. But then in this world, we find out, you know, there's something else that's valuable in this world. In this world, what's valuable is something else, a different currency. Not diamonds. Here it's fat and margarine and other such nonsense. And suddenly we convince ourselves, you know, that's going to matter. So I've got to suddenly throw away the time that I possibly could use to learn Torah or to do mitzvos or to daven or to work on my character. And instead, go hire myself out and start getting involved in buying and selling to get lots of vats of fat. Get to the next world, the Almighty says, I don't need any fat here. Here I'm looking for diamonds. What mitzvahs did you pick up? What good deeds did you do? So that's das. Das is the ability to have the right perspective, to realize that we're here to pick up diamonds, to do good deeds, and to fulfill as much as we can fulfill. And that's what life's all about. Says the Bas Ayin, part of what makes us forget that we're here for the sake of mitzvos is that we don't see how the person who does lots of mitzvos has it good in this world. And the person who does lots of averos has it tough in this world. On the contrary, what we see is that the person who does averos has an easier time in this world. And the person who does mitzvos, unfortunately, has a lot of travails in this world. But our obligation is to have great faith that we will eventually get to the world to come. And in the world to come, we'll see that the real reward is for the tzaddikim. That's where they're getting all the reward. Whatever difficulties they went through in this world was just to clean up all their sins. And the real punishments are for the wicked. And whatever good they had in this world was to pay off their merits, that they wouldn't have merits in the next world. That's das. If a person has a good, strong understanding, he understands to reject the silliness of this world and instead to devote himself to achieving good deeds in order to be deserving of blessings in the world to come. Paro is the opposite of das. Paro therefore says, "Kol habeina yilod hayorot hashlichuhu v'chol habas techayun." He says, any boy born, throw him into the river, and the girls keep alive. He's saying, all the boys, all those ideas of the world to come, throw that away into the river. Don't focus on that. Habas, the physicality of this world, that's what you should keep alive. That's what's real. That's what matters. That's the big challenge to overcome Paro, to realize that he's wrong, and the real das, the real das is to know what life is really about and to be focused on what life is really about and not to be swayed by the fact that in this world it looks like the wicked are doing well through their wickedness. That's not what matters. In the next world, it won't be so great for them, and to stay focused on the next world. Maybe that's the explanation of a strange pasuk in Micha. The pasuk says in Micha, like the days of your leaving Egypt, I will show you miracles. Now, one second, we left Egypt in one night. It should be kiyom tseischa, like the day you left Egypt, or kaleil tseischa. Why like the days? Suggest the Basayin, every day we can leave Egypt. Every day that we successfully have the right perspective on life, that we're in this world to try to maximize good deeds and service of God and getting to holiness, that's a day of leaving Egypt. Like the days of leaving Egypt, the more days we have of leaving Egypt, that's how we'll merit to see miracles. Like the days of leaving Egypt, we'll merit to have reward in the world to come. The stronger our das is, as many days as we have that we had the right perspective, that's how many rewards we'll have in the world to come. So maybe that's the idea, that the name of God of 42 letters came down with the Jews into Egypt. We find at the end of the Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu is the shepherd for Yisro's sheep, and one of his sheep run away. He runs after the sheep into the wilderness. He gets to Har Sinai, and there is a bush that's on fire, but yet it is not consumed. V'asne einenu ukal. Then there's a voice that comes out of the bush calling out to Moshe and saying, you've been appointed to go down to Egypt, tell Paro to let the Jews go. So Moshe says, well, when I go, and Paro says, and the Jews say, who is Hashem? What am I going to say? Hashem says, tell them, Eheya sher eheya, I will be that which I will be. Eheya shlachani aleichem, I will be as the one who sent me to you. I will be. So two I will be's. Eheyeh asher eheyeh. The gematria of the word eheyeh, I will be, is 21. It's two times that we have the name of God, Eke. So 2 times 21 is 42. That's the name of Hashem of 42 letters. I will be to punish the wicked in the world to come, that I will be to reward the righteous in the world to come. I will be. That's the real perspective, that the wicked are really suffering even though they're going through a good time in this world, because it means that in the next world they'll suffer. And the righteous are really being rewarded even though they're going through a hard time in this world, because the hard time in this world is to wipe away their misdeeds, to have the real pleasures in the world to come. That's why Ve'eleshmos, when the Jewish people went down into Egypt, Hashem brought the 42-letter name down with them to Egypt to hint to them that they should always realize that the 42-letter name is with them. I will be that I will be. They should have the right perspective that whatever benefits the wicked are getting is really a punishment, and whatever punishments the righteous are getting is really a preparation for the reward of the world to come. And maybe that's even hinted in the word Shmos B'nei Yisrael, the names of Israel. Because the word Shmos can mean Shem Tov L'Tzadikim, a good name for the Tzadikim, as in the verse Shem Olam Etein Lo, I'll give him a good name. And it can also mean the word Sham, which is destruction for the wicked, as in the Pasuk Eretz Mitzrayim Tiheh L'Shama, the land of Egypt will be made into a wasteland. So the Jewish people will be elevated, and the wicked will be punished. That realization the Jews had as they're going down into Egypt. Eila Shmos B'nei Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim. As we're going down into Egypt, we had this realization from Yaakov Avinu that really the righteous are being rewarded and the wicked are being punished, that what really matters is the world to come. And with that perspective, eventually, as that perspective came out, the Jewish people were able to be redeemed. That's another idea of the Basayin. A third idea of the Basayin on why it's so necessary that the name of 42 letters should come down to the Jews when we're going down into Egypt is that perhaps the idea of the 42-letter name is related to a tremendous degree of humility. The Torah says at the beginning of Bereshis, Bara Elokim, in the beginning, Hashem created. And one of the drashos on that pasuk is that Bereshis means for the sake of Yirat Shamayim, for the sake of fear. As in the pasuk, Reishis Chachma, the first of wisdom, is Yiras Elokim, is fear of God. For the sake of fearing God and having true fear of God, that's why Hashem made the world. So that there would be Jews who would fear God and who would feel that they're always standing in front of God. And by standing in front of God, they'll be humble, they'll be submissive, and know that whatever it is that a person has achieved, God is so much more. And we really haven't done anything. And so basically all we have in this world is just enormous amounts of chesed, enormous amounts of gifts that we're getting from the Almighty, even though we don't deserve it. And maybe that's the idea of the name of God, Eke, I will be. In other words, sometimes a person says, well, how could I serve God? I'm not so good. Maybe I'm not good, but I will be good. I know that I'm not deserving now of anything. I'm only getting it because I will be good. That sense that I will be, that's a symbol of tremendous humility that I haven't gotten enough done, but I will do in the future. And therefore, God is giving. And so maybe that's what's happening with the Jewish people in Egypt. The das, the real das, is to be aware that we haven't done enough, we're not deserving of anything, but I will be in the future. And out of humility, God is giving free gifts. Pasuk says, "Lo mirubchem," not because you're so many, God chose you. Ki atem ma'at mikol amim, you're the smallest of the nations. And the Gemara says in Chulin, you make yourselves small. Atem ma'atim esatzmechem, you humble yourselves. So maybe that's the idea of the 42-letter name. The 42-letter name is perhaps a symbol of the creation of the world. If you look at the Ana B'Koach prayer, 42-letter name is divided into 7 lines, each of 6 letters, because those letters were used to create the world. And those, in fact, you take the first line, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Yud, Taf, Tzadi, that equals in Gematria the word Tola, a worm, which also equals in Gematria the word Olas, an Ola. And the last is, the last of the 7 lines is Shin, Kuf, Vav, Tzadi, Yud, Taf, which in Gematria is the word Tolas, a worm, to have tremendous humility. That Shabbos, which is the holy day, creates even more humility. And that's the, perhaps that's the idea that the 42-letter name of God came with the Jewish people. What came with the Jewish people was a deep, inner-rooted humility. And through that humility, I will be, that's how ultimately the Jewish people were able to get out of Egypt and ultimately to be redeemed. A fourth idea that the Bas Ayin suggests on this pasuk is there's another medrash that says that Bereishis means the Jewish people were created, or the world was created for the sake of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are called Reishis, as in the pasuk, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tvuasa. The Jewish people are holy, they are the first of God's harvest. In other words, we were created, the world was for us, because the main purpose of the world is, as we've mentioned, to understand that the world is not about physical pleasures. The main purpose of the world is to take advantage of our time here to do good deeds, to do mitzvos, to serve Hashem, to hopefully merit to get closer in the world to come to the Almighty. And that world is the world of real, real pleasure. That's what we say in Nishmas. Mi yidmelach, who can be compared to you? Mi yishvelach, who can be equated with you? There's nothing as great as you, serving you and getting close to Hashem, getting close to the root of the Almighty, the root of all existence, the Almighty Himself. So that's what the verse is saying. V'yadata hayom, know today, v'ashevosu levavecha, and take it to heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim mimal, God is the Lord in the heavens above. V'alaretz mitachas, and on the earth below, and you know there's nothing other than Hashem. B'shamayim mimal, we have to remember the heavens above. We have to remember the service of God. There's nothing higher than that. V'alaretz mitachas, the earth is below. There's nothing lower than earthliness, than physical, you know, indulgences. The real purpose is to serve God. And that's what every person needs to do, to be devoted to the service of Hashem, be devoted to holiness. Maybe that's hinted in what the pasuk says about Miriam. Vatesatzav achoso merachok. His sister stood at a distance. L'de'a maye aselo. To know what will happen to him. That she distanced herself, perhaps, from physicality, from earthly matters. And through that, l'de'a maye aselo. Then she was able to lift up the physical matters and to use them to serve God. So maybe this is hinted all in the verse, Ve'ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael. The Gemara says in Yevamos that the word Ela is a hint at very harsh things. El is harsh, but Ela is very harsh. So the Vav is to connect. Connecting, it's the conjunctive. Connecting means holy things, to bring holiness. So the Pasuk is saying, Ve'ela. There's an Eila, there's the harshness of the physical world, but above, with it, you can bring the spiritual in to the physical. You can bring them together. And then it goes on, Shmos. Shmos maybe hints to the Rosh Tevos, Shamayim Mima'al V'aretz Mitachas, heaven above and earth below. Through realizing that there's nothing as heavenly as the heavens, there's nothing as exalted as serving God, v'aretz mitachas, and the way to get to there is to realize there's nothing as low as physicality. A person first gets away from physicality, and through that, habayim mitzrayma, then they're able to come to Egypt. They can go to the physical, and they can elevate the physical. Hence the verse, v'yelech ish mi beis Levi, a man from the house of Levi went. He went away from physicality. Vayikach es bas Levi, and he took the daughter of Levi, he lifted up the physical and used it to serve Hashem. Oh no, thank you. Thank you, Izzy. To share a... yeah. What's that? Right. Ela is 36, right, which is also certainly related to the name of Hashem. That's very, very true. Another thought that the Basayan says in the end of the parsha says, "Vayihi bayamim harabim ahem." It was after those many days. Vayamas melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt died. Vayanchu bnei Yisrael min avoda, the Jewish people, let out a moan from all the hard work. Vayisaku, they called out. Tal shavasam elokim min avoda, their cries went up to Hashem from the hard work. So ask the Basayan. If the king dies, they should be celebrating. This is the source of all the problems. So he dies, they're moaning. On the contrary, they should be very happy that he's done. So the Basayan suggested the following. Because they were enslaved to the king, when he died, they couldn't even show that they were happy that he died. They were happy. But living under a tyrannical, dictatorial, anti-freedom society, they had to show that they were unhappy when really they were happy. So maybe that's itself. Vayeanchu, they sobbed. Why did they sob? Because they had to show themselves sobbing. But why were they doing that? Mina avoda, because that was the nature of their servitude. The nature of their servitude was that they weren't able to be true to themselves. Vayizaku. So they called out. It's so terribly painful to not be able to be honest and forthright, to express what a person is feeling. They called out. Vatal shavasam el ho'elokim in avoda. And their appeals went up to God because of this service, because of this difficulty. Because God was with them. God hears our pain. So when he saw how we were conflicted in this way between what we wanted to express and what we had to express, Altal Shavasam Al Elokim, the prayers went up to Hashem. Hashem heard the prayers, and Hashem sent Moshe to save the Jewish people and to bring us out of Egypt. So I think one of the takeaways from the Basayan is the idea that we should look at the Parsha and try to pull from it lessons for our own lives on a daily basis. The first idea, we should learn Torah, we should daven, we should have humility. The second idea, the Parsha is about da'as, we should have the right perspective. The real world that matters is the world to come, not this world. There will be reward and punishment. We should look at the Parsha and realize that leaving Egypt is not something that happened then. It's happening every day. I think for us this year, that's especially appropriate. You know, we're now in the year 2017, the secular year, Tafresh Ayin Zayin in the Hebrew year. So this is the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War, which was literally, you know, a miracle in the eyes of those who lived through it. It was a miraculous, miraculous experience. It was things that they couldn't believe would happen. There was a rabbi, Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook. His father had been the chief rabbi, Rav Cook, of blessed memory. And he used to celebrate every Yom HaAtzma'ut in his yeshiva with a special meal to thank Hashem for the gift of the State of Israel. So in 1967, it was at night, they had a big meal, everyone was eating, and he suddenly burst out crying. He got up to speak, and in the middle of his speech, he gets overwhelmed and he starts crying. He says, "Everybody's celebrating outside, but how could I celebrate? Where's Chevron? Where's Kever Rachel? Where's Shechem? Where's our Beit Lechem? How could we be celebrating? We're missing a part of our heart and soul." Now, the history of the events are amazing. On Yom HaAtzma'ut of 1967, the Israeli government decided to have a military parade with some new American hardware. As a result of that military parade, the Soviets gave pictures of this military parade to the Syrians. That made the Syrians make all sorts of moves toward a war. which inspired the Egyptians to make moves towards a war. And 3.5 weeks later, there was the amazing miracle war, the Six-Day War, where in 6 days, really like the creation of the world, suddenly Israel tripled in size, it defeated enemies much larger than itself, it unleashed a world of Jewish pride. And for the students of Yeshivat Me'er Kazarav, it really all started with Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook crying on Yom HaTzmut, where's Beit Lechem? And 3.5 weeks later, his students are running into Beit Lechem, and are running into Shechem, and are running into Hebron, and they're liberating these places right after he was crying about it. That's all part of, you know, we can use all of those events to inspire us to a Yetzias Mitzrayim. Jewish people are, and we personally, are in all sorts of exiles, but we can think of examples of leaving an exile that should inspire us to leave the exile of the limited perspective and to go into the realm of redemption, of serving Hashem, doing His mitzvos, and getting away from the paro and the mitzarim, the limitations that are holding us down. Thank you, Izzy. Mitzvot. Have a good night. Thank you.